EF United, a premier Cold Fusion conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
All right, so welcome. We're going to be talking about Flex 2 Cold Fusion integration. My name's Mike Nimer. Yeah, you've heard about Flex 2. You're interested, huh? Someone said something earlier to this conference about it? My name is Mike Nimer. I'm a Cold Fusion engineer on the Cold Fusion team. Did a lot of the work on the Mystic integration stuff. You can't see this. Do you really want to? This PowerPoint. So imagine a picture.
Yeah.
Let's see. That should. It looks like we're getting there. All right. That's better. Real vapor PowerPoint. All right. So let's start again. First, I just want to thank you guys all here. I know it's like the last session of the conference for a lot of you. I don't know how many are coming back tomorrow. I'm doing this again tomorrow if anyone is and really wants to see it again. cool. So first off, how many people have downloaded Flex, tried Flex, grabbed it off a key, installed? Oh, nice. Okay. So you might know this already, but what is Flex? So one thing to get straight is Flex is the name of a family of products. You're going to hear Flex referred to. Oh, you're using Flex to build that. Oh, you got the Flex components. Oh, there's the Flex this. And depending on who you're talking to, they're talking about the server, the IDE, the components. So just keep in mind Flex is more of a general name for the family of products. It's not... If someone says Flex, it doesn't always mean the Flex Builder IDE. So if you're confused, you know, ask me to clarify, ask whoever you're talking to. And also think of Flex as the Flex SDK part, the Flex components, are the presentation layer. They replace HTML. A lot of times I've been asked, like, so does Flex talk to databases? No, think of Flex as like the same place HTML sits in your application right now. You're still going to have CF on the back end. You're still going to have CF or anything else talking to the other stuff, doing all that heavy business logic. Another question that comes up, Flex versus Ajax. Just a few bullet points on this. Both provide a richer interface for web apps, which is good. We all like richer interfaces. This is why we love Ajax. This is why we love Flex. There are some issues. Browser compatibility. Ajax, you know, it's getting pretty good. I mean, 5 years ago it came out, and we're just now able to use it pretty reliably. But it still doesn't support all browsers. Flex, I mean, this is why we love Flash. It's browser compatibility. Accessibility. Ajax still has a lot of accessibility problems. You know, screen readers don't know when you've made a callback to the server and updated a table. There's people working on that. They're trying to get that right, but it's not very good. Flex has accessibility built in, tested against multiple screen readers. You flip a switch when you compile it, it turns on. If you're doing government work, if you're doing, you know, an organization where you need accessibility, that's a big deal. Data transfer. Ajax, asynchronous XML. I mean, it sends XML back and forth. Flex sends XML back and forth, too. It also sends Flex data services, which is like a binary back and forth, a lot smaller. It doesn't have the marshalling of XML where you're converting and serializing and deserializing it. And Flex also has the ability to push. Ajax can't push. You could have 5,000 people sitting at your server, and instead of every second, is there any new data? Is there any new data? Pounding your server, they can just sit there in happy land until you tell them once an hour something happened. So it's a very nice thing. So what does it matter to you as a web and a CF developer? Well, in the old days, there was HTML and DHTML. That's cool, but now it's getting exciting. We've got HTML still, DHTML, Ajax. We have FlexWorld and Flash. You also get to build better separation of presentation and your business logic. And it gives you a better experience for your clients. Less screen reloads, richer feedback. I mean, if I just look back at the success of Flash Forms, I mean, how many people here use Flash Forms? That's a lot. I mean, that tells me you guys want a richer UI. You guys want a richer experience, and that's awesome. So hopefully we give you more power now. So how do I think of this world? How does this world go? I look at this, I got a whole bunch of clients, we got the Flex presentation layer, and then we got CF as a bridge. CF talks to everything else. It's the middleman that sits in the middle. You need to get your POP account and your correlated with your Oracle and a login against your NT domain. CF's the guy in the middle that just kind of pulls it all together. Now, the Flex data services, what does this world look like? So when you hear people talk about Flex data services and the server, there's three types of data access. There's the RPC access, which is web services, XML and flash remoting. This is a request response type of thing. I make a request, I get back a list of states. I make a request, I get back a list of users. There's a data management piece. This has got, you know, occasionally connected client, offline work. You've got paging, you've got data synchronization. If you save something, then someone else saves something, and then it'll pop back conflict and say, hey, there's a conflict. Someone else has already edited this. Who should keep it? It's got all that kind of stuff built in. And then there's messaging. I mean, this is pushing. If you remember back in 98, push was the big buzzword of the internet. But this is where you get to just send data to a client whenever you want, not when they want to look at it. So the simple ways to talk to a server with Flex. This is really any server, but I'm using CF as an example. The Flex clients can talk directly to web services, or they can load an XML file. This is any real server out there can do this. Now, when you got ColdFusion in here, though, you now also have flash remoting. Flex will talk directly to ColdFusion, and then we'll talk to flash remoting client, or which we'll call CFCs, and return that and get your data. Now, if you add the Flex server into this piece, the two for Flex data services and messaging, the world looks like this. And how this process works is with Flex data management, the client will call Flex server. The Flex server has an adapter built onto the side of it, which calls the adapter built onto the side of CF. CF will invoke the CFC, return to the adapter, return it to the Flex server. The Flex server will talk to the clients. This adapter in the middle is kind of an automatic. Once you get it configured, it uses RMI. The two servers just need to be on the same subnet. You do not need to merge web.xmls. You do not need to merge them on the same website. You can deploy two WARs. You can deploy two servers. You could have two different machines next to each other. These two can talk to each other. Messaging is the same way, but instead of this client requests something, it lets you push the data back out. So something could happen in a CFC. You might have an event gateway that says, hey, a directory, you know, let's do a directory watcher example. A file showed up. CF could catch it, could send a message all the way out to all the clients saying there's a new resume in the resume box or something. You could push that straight out just like this. And it goes the same way. It goes right through our little adapters between the two servers. So what tools do you need to build an app? Well, you're going to need ColdFusion 7.02 update. You've heard it referred to as Mystic a lot. You're going to need a ColdFusion IDE. Because Flex Builder is based on Eclipse and you're going to be in Eclipse, I would probably recommend CF Eclipse. But it doesn't matter. You can use HomeSite, you can use Dreamweaver, you can use Notepad, whatever your favorite tool is. You're going to need the Flex Builder IDE. Technically, you can do this with Notepad, but the Flex Builder IDE makes life really easy, so I would tell you to go ahead and get it and use it. You're also going to probably want the ColdFusion plugins. Yeah, you got a question? I don't believe so, but I don't know all the product plans, but not that I know of. You're also going to want the ColdFusion plugins for Flex Builder. I'll show you some of these. These are technically optional, but they're going to make your life easier if you can use them. And then you might want the Flex data server, depending on the type of app you're trying to build. But it's only required if you're using those last two types of data messaging I showed you. Not required for the other ones. Which I believe the other ones, the RPC services, are a lot of the apps you're going to build. So that's definitely going to cover most apps. So now the next question to ask yourself is, what type of apps are you going to build this way? Okay, you're going to build the hybrid apps. I call these hybrid apps. These are, you've got an HTML banner, an HTML menu. You click on edit user, a flash movie loads. You click on another, you know, maybe the calendar link, a Flex calendar loads. Click on another link, you get an HTML form. You've got kind of a hybrid app. It's a mix of HTML and Flex. A lot of people think that you can only build Flex apps in the full app world, where it's, I'm replacing a client. The whole screen opens full size, and it's all Flex, and life's good. I've built clients where you just use iframes. Some iframes are HTML, some are Flex movies. Doesn't really matter. So figure out what kind you're going to build. There's no right way or wrong way. So before you start building those, a couple of things to cover first. So you guys have been doing CF for a while. You're used to request response, page reloads, click a link, page reloads. Forget that. You got to get that out of your head. That's actually one of the hardest problems that when I talk to people of what they have a hard time doing is getting that, well, I click on submit and the form reloads. And it's like, no, it's not that way. It's asynchronous. The page isn't reloading. That request response model is kind of gone. The new model is more of an event model, where you're going to click on something, and it's going to throw an event, and someone else, maybe one guy, maybe 12 guys are listening to this, and they're going to respond to this. And so you got to get kind of this event, and the page doesn't reload, you don't get all this out of it. So when I think of this, when I think of events, kind of a use case I like to use is a product list. So I'm going to build a little Flex select box with a product list. Maybe when I mouse over, they change colors, life's good. I'm going to build this little widget. So it's just self-contained. It knows how to call the server, get the product list. It knows how to render the product list. And then it's going to throw events. It's going to say, I selected something. I deselected something. That's it. It will not, that product list will not know that when you click on something, show the edit form. It will not know when you click on something, add to cart. The person, the movie using that product list will know what to do with it. So you start kind of building up in components. You build a little component and he just, you know, you click on something and he yells out there, hey, Bob was selected. You know, Bob Dylan CD was selected. Now the movie using that product list might say, when Bob Dylan's selected, I'm going to add to shopping cart. The movie might also be your back-end admin. He goes, when Bob Dylan's selected, I'm going to show the edit form. But it's, you're going to throw these events up and someone else is going to respond to this. So just kind of, you know, start thinking of events, start getting this in your head. You'll get used to it really quick. You'll like it, and you'll have a hard time when you go back to HTML. So first thing I want to cover is a simple example. Let me show you the example real quick. This is just going to be a simple example that calls Cold Fusion, gets data from a query, and populates a grid. And I'm going to hit reload. Boom, there it goes. Now, what does this example need to work? So first thing we're going to need is we're going to need a CFC that returns data. And obviously with CFCs, because you're calling from a remote place, remember the access has to be remote. We're going to need a Flex movie that uses the MX remote object tag. This is the Flex site. I'll show you this in a minute. And we're going to need a way to display the results. This is the grid. Let's just show you the code. It's funner. Let's see here. Minimize this. Maximize this. Is that easy to see? Hard to see? Let me see if I can update this font size a little bit. Anybody happen to know where the general? Pick a place.
Colors and fonts.
It's not in there.
Open up basic. Box font. Change it.
Oh my god. Thank you, Dean. That was intuitive. So what were we talking about, a rich user experience? Wow. Okay. So, I mean, this is a big, complex piece of CFML. I'm sure no one's ever been able to write something this complex before. You know, CF query, CF return. but this is as simple as you need to be on the server. You know, for a simple example, we're going to get some users and we're going to send them back. So I got this component out there. It's under the webroot. And I'm going to have my MXML movie. So the first thing I'm going to need is my remote object tag. Kind of think of this. If this was a CF page, this would be the equivalent of CF object or create object. You're defining what CFC I want to call, and you're giving it a variable name. In this case, I'm calling it CF data, and I'm calling the example simple.components.simple CFC. Cool. Now, I've also sat here and said, one of the things I'm going to call on this guy is the get query method. When I call that and something comes back, call this function. Okay. Now, Flex here is working in an asynchronous model, so it's going to sit here, and unlike Cold Fusion, you make a query, you wait for the query to run, you do something with the results. In Flex, it's you say, give me the data, and then you keep working. Cool. This could take 10 seconds. This could take 100 milliseconds. This could take 10 years. When that data comes back, Flex will go ahead and call the next step in the process. So it lets you just, you know, throw the event out, and when it finally gets back, I'll do something with it. I don't have to wait for it to finish. So we're telling it right here what to do, what to call when you come back. And then we have the data grid. Looks a lot like CF grid. It's pretty simple. We've given it a name of CF grid, CF example. So another part of this app is we're going to actually invoke the code. So there's a thing in Flex called the creation complete function. This is like your HTML body on load. It says when the movie's done loading, call this function to start it all off. In here we go, hey, remote object guy, call the get query method. Okay, that's called. We can now go do some other stuff, show some animations, pick some buttons, whatever. When that comes back, though, I get back the result. I'm going to say, okay, grid, the data provider property, this is basically the source of the grid, set it to equal the event.result object. This is the query that came back. So I said, hey, grid, your source is the query. And that is this right here. It loads, it makes a call, it comes back, and it populates. So that's your real basic example. That's the core of what you need. I mean, I got a remote object and I got a way to view it. Pretty simple. Just for those of you guys who are taking notes in here, you got it all written down. So a couple of things to remember. You can return any type of Cold Fusion data, structs, arrays, queries, CFCs, XML, anything you need. We will automatically do data translations, all that type of stuff. And all the requests are asynchronous. No more coding the request response, reload the page model. No, we sent back byte arrays. No, it knows it's a byte array. So Dean just pointed out byte arrays. If you had a blob, it's like, say, an image in a database, it's a binary object, and you return that, it's going to come into Flash as a byte array. Flash is going to go, that's nice. I got a byte array. Not a lot you can do with it. There are people who have written code out there, because byte arrays are actually very powerful, that will convert byte arrays to JPEGs or convert byte arrays to PNGs. You can actually like take a Flash canvas bitmap object, have the client draw something, use this code to convert their byte array into a JPEG byte array and send it to the server and save it as a JPEG. So the byte arrays can be, it's pretty advanced usage, but we do actually support it. So the next example is going to take it a step farther, and we're going to do value objects. So yeah, great, we can send back queries, structs, that's all good. But we're using lots of frameworks out there. We're hearing a lot about object-oriented. We like objects. Life's good. I want to work with objects. Well, with Flex 2, you can do this now. You can go ahead and get in there and say, I want to send back the book. Say I'm working on a bookstore, and I want to send books back and forth. I want to send teachers back and forth. I want to send this user back and forth. I don't want to send back a struct. I don't want to send back a query. I want to send back this user object. And we will go ahead and convert. We'll have on both sides. We'll have a CFC user on one side and a CFC action script user on the other. And they both have the same properties, but they'll have different methods. On the server, my CFC will have create, read, update, SQL statements, things like that. On the client, I'll have blink and get total and some stuff and things that the UI needs. But when you send this object back and forth, we're going to take the properties, send them over, and automatically take the ActionScript class, turn it into a CFC instance, just like you already created, called create object. And if you take a CFC and return it, we're going to automatically convert that into an ActionScript class. So now if you're working on any of the OO frameworks out there, if you're working in this type of world, you're like, I'm working with user Bob. I'm going to send user Bob back to the server, tell it to save it. User Bob will come back. I'll change some more properties. I'll send it back to the server. I'll tell it to save it. And all day I'm working with Bob. And when you get used to it, it's a very nice way to code and it's a very useful way to code. And so it takes support this. So to do this, this is my little graphic. It says, hey, we go back and forth. A couple of things you're going to need. You're going to need an ActionScript class for this object. And you're going to need a CFC for this object. I'm calling it the bean CFC. It has get and set methods. That's it. Doesn't do anything. But it has the properties to find the get and sets. You're going to need a DAO, your SQL queries, your methods, the business logic. Whatever you need for the business logic. You might need a gateway type of CFC. Now, really the bean and the AS are the important part. I'm showing these other two because this is what we can code gen automatically for you. So you'll know what these CFCs are when I create three of them. If you use different frameworks, some frameworks like a bean DAO model, other frameworks like an active record where it's one CFC with everything in it, some like other ideas, you can do it whatever you want. Let me show you what these look like and how we would do this. So let's take this exact same example. Oh, close that, get the right alt tab going. Now, Cold Fusion, we went ahead and created a couple extra plugins for the Flex Builder users and the CF Eclipse users. One of these will look very familiar. You've never seen it in any IDE before. No, it's the RDS plugin for people who are using Eclipse, just like the home site RDS plugin you've known and used forever. But it does one extra thing. So we're actually going to delete these files. Okay. So I can view my tables. I'll close everything. And let's take, for instance, I want to start working with artists. I want to pass this artist back and forth, single copies of this artist back and forth. So one of the wizards we created for you is this create CFC wizard. So now I got different types. I say, okay, where do I want it? I want it in this project's folder, components. Cool. Update the value objects. All right. And now I have three types of CFCs we can generate. The active record, a bean DAO, and these are basically, if you look at all the Cold Fusion frameworks that are out there, they're about half and half. Half use one, half use the other. So we kind of modeled them, made them really generic. And there's a Flex Data Services generator here. If you're using the Flex Data Server and you need this special assembler type of CFC, we can code gen that for you too. But for right now, I'm just going to do the simple bean DAO. There's another feature here where we'll create the ActionScript class automatically for you, but I'm not going to do that right now. We create that, and you can see, boom. I am the world's fastest coder. Oh, sorry. So we have the bean CFC. This is just all the CF property tags that define what the artist has, and it gets set for every one of them. We have the artist DAO, the read select SQL query, the create insert query, create update query. I know you guys love typing this over and over and over again. I'm sorry to take that away from you, but and then there's this gateway CFC. This is a utility helper CFC. It has things like a get by ID, has things like a save. If the ID is zero, call create. If it's not zero, call update, delete. It has a get all. So I want to populate the grid with all the artists. I'm going to call get all. It's going to return an array of 14 artist CFCs. As long as it's remote, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dean just pointed out, on this CFC, these are the only methods that we code-gen are remote. So you can always change it, but what we code-gen, these are, you're going to always make calls into this CFC. This is kind of like the in-between. These have all the remote methods. So the DAO, the SQL methods, the beans, those are not remote. So I'm going to go in here. Look at my example. So, I got the CF data get queries, what I had before. I'm going to call CF query get all. I'm going to change my remote object tag to point to the artist gateway instead of simple. Not a big change. I have a get all method. I have a get all result handler. And when the grid comes back, it's going to be data provider. And this time it's a little different. You can see I'm creating, the data providers need to be a data type. Flex is strongly typed, and case sensitive too, which can sometimes be frustrating. So when you tell a grid needs an array collection. Array collection is a wrapper around an array of objects, or an array of structs, or an array of classes. When we return the query in the last example, queries automatically come over as array collections. So I didn't have to do the new array collection. But this time I'm going to return an array of CFCs, so it's a real array, not a query. So it's going to come over as an array, so I need to create an array collection. Not a big difference. And then I have my grid. I notice I changed the data fields. And I have the init app, get all. So if I run this, okay, so you can see it looks identical before, but instead of a query, I returned objects. Well, the nice part is now that I have objects, maybe I'm going to want to edit one. I don't know why that didn't populate. Oh, that's why. So, that's actually a good point. Take a look at this. So there's a new attribute in CF component called alias. Put it in your CF component tag. This is the path and the name of the CFC. The reason this is important, it's only important for flash remoting requests when you're doing value objects. So, but when you're doing this, the next wizard we have here, because I remember I told you need the ColdFusion CFC and you need the matching action script class. So we can go ahead and now we can go ahead and go create AS class. We'll stick it in here. Put it in there. Actually don't want the source. Next case, example value objects, cool. All right, there's the matching AS class. Now one reason we wrote these wizards, these productivity wizards, is because Flex is case sensitive and heavily typed. It's so easy to like type mixed case in one and lowercase in the other when you're trying to make the matching case that we're like, all right, we got to speed this up. So if you notice, the artist CFC had, these are all uppercase and these are the data types and the CF property tag. This is your contract with Flex, the CF property tags. These are the 10 properties I'm going to send back and forth. I don't really care what's in this scope or what's in variable scope or what methods you have. These are the 10 properties I'm going to try and send back and forth. And the artist AS class matches. And then in Flex, for your class to link to a remote class, you have to use this metadata here at the top, remote object alias equals. And if you notice, this alias looks identical to the CFC alias. Those two have to be identical. So let's go ahead and compile this project again. Before I had this as a different name, that's why I didn't let you do the edit. Boom. Now we have a user. so I can edit this user. And the nice part is you might be thinking, oh, well, he's returning an array of CFCs. It's kind of slow. Well, in the rich client, I made one call, took a second or two instead of 100 milliseconds with the query. I returned 10 CFCs. I can work on this for the next 20 minutes. I can work on this for the next half hour and not go back to the server. Then I can edit a whole bunch of users and then go, now save all 15 users again. Make one more heavy call. So which way is better? You decide. It's based on an app-by-app basis. But one of the things to remember is, okay, I'm returning these CFC objects. I can work on it on the client. I'm not going back to the page every time I hit edit. I'm not reloading it. I'm not rerunning this query 4,000 times. And that's a benefit you get. Now, how did I do this pop-up? I'll just walk through this code real quick so you can understand. So on the grid, I have a little change event that says edit user. Think about this as like an HTML on change. You know, on change, call this function. This function says create a new edit artist component. Set the artist to the one that was selected in the grid. Add an event listener called save. And I'll just walk this through. And then go ahead and open a pop-up. Cool. That's the pop-up. Now, the pop-up is another form. You know, form item, text input, form item, text input, MX form. When you called editForm.artist equals item, Flex has this really cool feature with get and set methods where when you set them up like this, if you set the property like artist equal, it will automatically invoke the set method. You don't have to actually call like set artist with parentheses. So let's go ahead and set this. That's cool. Oh, the save would actually break right now. And then the next thing we have here, now how many people are familiar with Flex binding? Remember Flash Forms binding? It's identical? Okay. Little curly brackets. So I have this artist object. You can actually like display that as an XML thing. So the first name is bound to the form field text property. So as I type in the text, this value is changing. So I type in this, so I have this model, you know, in a model view controller world, I have the model here. So I have the form, I have the model. And now when I hit save, I'm going to call cfdata.save, which with this remote object has a save. And when the save returns true, maybe it'll throw an error, which is good because then I want to leave the edit form up. But when it returns true, it'll call this function. And it'll, now this form, remember this form doesn't know, isn't telling the grid to refresh. This form's just saying, hey, I saved the item. Do whatever the hell you want. You know, just do whatever you want. And so he's going to throw this event, say, save. And if you remember in our example, we said, hey, we have a listener here. So whenever this thing says save, I want to call my reload method. So the parent knows what to do with the edit form when he says I'm done with something. So we can go ahead and go. Oh, you're right. Did it recompile? Let's just recompile to make sure. Remember, I noticed the remote object was pointing at the wrong CFC, so I just want to make sure that this works. See, I've demoed this a few times. Save. So the save, it came back, it closed the pop-up, and then it said, hey, save. And the parent movie, the grid, called reload and went to the server and got all the new items. No, I did. So when this save function here... When it hits save in this little movie, this movie knows where to call save. So it calls the server with save. The server sends back, the save was successful. So now the client says, all right, I saved the item. Hey, grid, go back. You know, maybe I want to be super redundant. Go back to the server and get a new list. Because maybe there's 10 of us editing items, and I always want to keep refreshing. So when he hits save here, you'll see the little hourglass pops up. That means go to the server, reload. I mean, it's almost instant. Just when you look at this, it's like, I hope you see it is going back to the server. It's not... immediate. And that's a little bit more complex example of using the value objects and taking it beyond just, you know, queries, structs, arrays. You can actually start working with your objects. Okay. So now that you're passing objects, you're creating things, we got to figure out how to debug this because things will go wrong. Well, the first thing to remember is there's a services config XML file. that controls the settings for the Flex and Flex remoting and stuff like that. And one of the things you can do in here, it's under the ColdFusion WebRoot WebInt Flex Services Config, is down here, there's a logging settings. And you can say, what kind of error message do you want to see? Right now, I want to see debug. I want to see everything happening. Probably don't want to leave debug on in production, but you know, you might just say only output to the console warnings, only output errors. Right now, I'm saying debug. So what does this look like? Well, one trick, and this will help you a lot, start ColdFusion from the command line. You probably, a lot of you have it running as a service. That's great in production. But in development, the command line can be your best friend. So go ahead, and to do that, I'll go ahead and start it up. I have the multi-server version running, so I go jrun start cfusion. If you have a standalone ColdFusion running, there's a bat file called cf start. Run that in the command line, it'll start cf up. I will. So ColdFusion's running. So now if I go reload this app, we get back data. Now what is this going to tell me? Like, what am I looking at here? Well, let's go look at this. So, actually, you know what? There's a lot of data there. Let me turn something else on, which I'll cover in a minute. Okay. So if you look in here, I got a request. It's calling the get all method. And believe me, after you've stared at this a few times trying to debug it, this will all be very easy to read and make perfect sense. It does some stuff. It's sending back some acknowledge messages. And then here's what it returned, my response object. So it returned an array of artist CFCs. Everything you're getting here. So this is your first line of debugging. When you're looking at it and you've got a grid and you make a call and you're like, where, nothing happened. Well, the first thing you want to do is look in here and say, hey, did it even go to the server? Did I get a request object to the server? Maybe so ColdFusion threw an error and there's an error message in here because error messages will pop up in here. And so it didn't return a value, it threw an error. Error messages should go all the way back to the Flash client, but maybe something bad happened. So this is a good first place you want to look. You want to see the request, you want to see the data going out, see the data coming back. Another thing you might do is look at this and go, I saw it come out, I saw it come back, but it never showed up on my grid. Well, let's go make sure I'm like got the right case statement for the column name or make sure I've got the right function getting called. And it kind of tells you where to go look to help debug it. Nice little simple example. The next thing is you guys are all familiar with the ColdFusion debug data at the bottom of the page. This is really useful data. It tells you how fast your queries are running. It makes sure you didn't write a 30-second query. Hold on, Sarge? To get what? Change the rows. Oh, yeah. So one thing you want to know if you're not familiar working with the console here, you can open the properties. Go to layout, and you can actually set the buffer. This is how big this, how much data it will keep in your scroll bars. Crank it up. I got 300 wide, 1200. Yeah. Go big. Modify the shortcut so all consoles after this will keep that setting. There you go. So that's what lets me scroll all the way up here and see all the data. Otherwise, it throws it away really quick, and you only see the last little bit. Yeah. Yeah, the mark. So Sarge over here works in support group, and he wants me to make sure I tell you how to get the data so you can email it to him to help fix some. I have it on. Ah, so if you turn this on, quick edit mode. So I can just do this and hit enter. So what you do is you go ahead and highlight a chunk that you want, hit the enter key, you know, and then I come over here and paste it into an email and send it to Sarge and make him fix it. Sarge's email is, so the next part to be debugging is the Cold Fusion debugger. You notice I turned this off a second ago. Well, we have all this useful data on a CFM page, but in general, you don't have it on flash remoting until now. So we went ahead and we said, we're going to return all this data. Because, you know, I don't want you getting used to this asynchronous world. You got some icons. You don't realize you're writing 40-second queries. You know, it's good to see what you're doing here and go, hey, those queries still look slow. Maybe I can tune them. Maybe I can add an index. So if I turn this on, well, the first thing you're going to see in the console, let me just start scrolling, a lot of data. The console doesn't get as useful with this now. I mean, I can scroll for a while. But that data does come back in the result event object, so you can reference it in code. I have started working on a little component here that will help that I'll eventually put on a blog pretty soon called debug.show. Flex has an equivalent of cfdump called object util toString. I kind of wrapped it in this. So now if I go ahead and dump this, we're returning a lot more data. Things are a little bit slower. Yay. So now I can go ahead and dump the result event. And if you remember, I'm in the get all result handler. The event result is what populated the grid. I'm going to dump it. Well, this object is a get all. It's a get all method. It has the result, which is, you know, all the different artists that are returned. But it also has all the debug data. Well, this is kind of hard to read, so we went ahead and it says your execution time. That function call, that get all, took 359 milliseconds on my laptop. Just that one. Here's some of the queries that are being written. Actually, here's all the queries that are running. There's a get all and then 14 individual single gets. And you can see the select and what was happening. How long did it take? 32 milliseconds. What was returned in that one query? Maybe I want to come back up here to the one that returned 15. Oh, here's all 15 object IDs. So you can kind of get an idea, even though we didn't return all these queries, they're actually in the debug data. This debug will show everything, timers, traces, HTTP exceptions, whatever's in there, it'll show it if it exists. So hopefully this will make that big, long chunk of string a little bit more readable. Eventually I'll throw this on the blog, and you guys can all download it in like the next few days. It's still a work in progress. But the point is, all that ColdFusion debug data is there, so keep using it, keep looking at it. Keep tuning your queries, making sure you're doing stuff the right way. All right, so the next step, actually, I don't have a slide for it, but there's one other thing I want to show you for debugging your app, and this is a program called Service Capture. You've probably seen it mentioned in other presentations, usually the Flex ones. The Service Capture is cool. It's an IP sniffer. Every HTTP request coming off this machine, it's tracking. The cool part is it knows, oh, I opened the wrong program. The icon next to it. The cool part about Service Capture is it knows what remote object, it knows what AMF flash remoting data looks like. So it can actually format it in something you can read. Even though it's a binary stream coming across, it'll take it and turn it into and show you. It's an array of objects with, you know, structs and stuff like that. So if I come back here, go to 127 because it doesn't like localhost. Well, maybe I do. There we go. Doesn't like localhost, but you can see here, made a call to the Flex 2 gateway. Here's what it sent. You know, here's what it got back, an array of objects, state ID. So this is really useful to just have running behind the scenes, and then you're like, what's coming back and forth? And you can be like, let's go look at that last request. Where did it go? Did it not come back? Did it throw a 404? Did something happen? This program's called Service Capture. I don't actually know the... Actually, I do know the URL. I have the URL at the end of the slide, but it is... if you do a Google search on Service Capture, it'll be the first link. Kevin Langdon, I think, wrote it. It's like $30. It's well worth three times that. So those are your three debugging options. You know, the console, the ColdFusion debug, and Service Capture. lots of options. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is configuration. This can get kind of confusing with Flex and flash remoting, and so I want to kind of cover this stuff. So when you're building, the first thing is the project. You're in Flex Builder. I have these projects here. You create a new project, Flex project. Well, if you click basic project, it's not going to know how to work with Cold Fusion. Obviously, we have this Cold Fusion type. Now, the Cold Fusion type basically is just setting one option. And this is the key, because if you pick basic and then set this yourself, that's fine. Works great. So you can either do the Cold Fusion project, pick the folder, we'll set it up, set the basic project type, and just add this. But the key here is Flex needs to know the location in Cold Fusion's folder of where that XML file is. The reason being, when Cold Fusion or when the Flex Builder compiles this movie, it's going to open this XML file, parse out the URL to Cold Fusion so it knows where to call, and embed that into the Swift movie. So if you don't have this set up right, it will never call Cold Fusion. So when you look into the console and go, nothing happened, odds are you forgot to set that, and so it doesn't know where Cold Fusion is. So it's just like yelling out into nowhere and going, anyone listening? So this is important. So this is the first gotcha when you're setting up your projects. Yeah. That's the easiest way, because it does have to be like a file, C:/. But it doesn't have to be. This is an important point. Is this assuming Cold Fusion's running locally? If your Cold Fusion's not local, just copy this file locally and make sure the settings are correct for if it was. And you can point it to ctemp services config. Okay. The Flex Builder needs to pull out that XML value, so it doesn't really care where the file is, but it ships here under CF. So. Well, Cold Fusion itself needs that file to run. So you can copy it locally for building, but then the Cold Fusion server also uses that file for something else. So leave it there. Leave a copy there. No, once the Swift's compiled, it's got all the data it needs out of that file. It's just when it's compiling that Swift that you're going to copy up to your web server. Now, this is all for the remote object tag. There is a way, if you want to get really advanced and you hate that XML file, to use ActionScript and code that in line. That's with the channel set object. And honestly, the file is easier to go, so I'm not going to go into a lot of details about how to set that up. Just remember, there is a way to do it without that file in the project. So if you really need that, or you got a weird configuration back at the office. The next thing in here is the destinations. So this is when I said Cold Fusion needs this file also when it runs the server. The point is, if you remember in your MXML tag, our remote object said, call the Cold Fusion destination with this CFC path. Well, Java's, we have to have a Cold Fusion that matches that in this XML file. In this case, we use a wild called star saying, I'm going to pull the data out of the MX remote object tag. You can overwrite that. You could say, com.mic.foo, and no matter what you put in your remote object tag, com.mic.foo CFC will get invoked. So if you wanted to lock down your server and make sure only one CFC could ever be invoked through this, no matter what they code, you can do it here. But to make it easy to get started and code something, and the fact that you probably have lots of CFCs you want to call, we start off with a wildcard. It also lets you do use mappings. In general, flash remoting is considered a remote object call, so it only lets you call CFCs under the web root. This says, nope, I want to use a CF mapping to find the CFC. So you can turn that on. This is new in Flex 2. You can also say, I want to be able to call public and remote access methods, not just the default access. But we leave the web root, we leave the remote as, for security, you got to turn it down. We leave it up as high as we can. Also, since Flex is case sensitive, so if you go in Cold Fusion, this.foo in uppercase, and then Flex, you say this.foo lowercase, it's a different thing. To make that easier, if you're having those kind of issues, you got a whole bunch of developers that all can't agree on what kind of case they like to type, or depending on the day, you switch case. You can come in here and say, hey, when you're sending structs back, lowercase all the keys so I never have to worry about it in Flex. Cold Fusion doesn't care. It's case insensitive. It doesn't care what it comes back. But Flex will. So we'll kind of take care of that and take care of some case conversions for you if you want. We ship with one default destination called Cold Fusion. You can add more. You can add as many as you want if you want. If you're doing the CFC in line, they all have the same settings, just use this one. You should never have to edit this file. If you are having a whole bunch of things, maybe you've got like a big web app, you deploy every Thursday, you've got 48 QA testers, you like big deployment scripts, go ahead and add one setting for every CFC you call. It's all good. Okay. Not from the Cold Fusion Flex. Not from the Flex running inside of Cold Fusion. We only have the classes to invoke CFCs. But if you had Flex Data Services, they have messaging, they have Flex Data Services, and they have the same RPC code to call Java classes. So if you had a team on your department that was using Hibernate, and they had a whole bunch of Java classes, they can go through the Flex server to the Java world and create Java classes and POJO. And they work just like the CFC does. They come back as a value object, and you can pass the user Java class back and forth. You can also, this is very extendable. If you're really inclined, you can write custom stuff, custom adapters. You can really think Cold Fusion said, hey, Flex, you wrote a really cool thing. We're going to write the first third-party adapter for it, for CFCs. Someone, if you guys have something custom, you could come in here and write, I don't know, I can't even think of a good example, but some custom adapter to call some custom object in your world. I'm sorry, what? I heard it coming. So a couple of things out there in the community that can help you. The service capture, this is the link to service capture, that tool. There are frameworks out there if you like coding with frameworks, if you're looking for a framework to make sure you're doing it in a way that a lot of people agree is the right way. Cairngorm's the first framework out there for Flex. It's the only one I know of for Flex 2 so far. I'm sure in another few months that will change. This is written by some guys in Scotland that are now part of the Adobe Consulting Group. There's a URL to that. There's also a mailing list, kind of like CF Talk for Flex coders. It's a Yahoo group, so you can go onto Yahoo, type Flex coders, get the information on how to subscribe to that. It's about as active as CF Talk, so make sure you have an email filter. So right now I want to do Q&A. I have one more demo for you if we don't have a lot of questions, but I want to make sure we have time to answer a lot of questions if you guys have any. Do you have any questions so far? Yeah.
This might actually be more of a Flash question, but has it improved support of HTML inside of text?
Not really. I recently ran into that, and it's got its own version of HTML with text formats around everything and only supports these 10 tags, and if you have HTML... It does have a rich text editor where you can highlight in bold and highlight in italic, but it hasn't increased the amount of HTML tags it knows what to do with or how to render. Any more questions? Yeah. Nope, it's services.config.xml. And your machine, you have it as Flex Enterprise Services after you did the install? Did you upgrade from beta 3 to final? And you still have a file called Flex Enterprise. You renamed it from to services. Because up to beta 3, it had a different name, which is Flex Enterprise. It should have been laying down services config. It's the exact same file. We just renamed it. So. Make sure you don't have the old file name of Flex Enterprise Services. Yeah, that's not. Haven't seen that, but thank you. Any more questions so far? Yeah. As far as the Flash remoting goes, no, they're the same. Yeah, we literally use the same subsystems, same classes. The performance difference is going to be in the creation of your Java versus your creation of your CFCs and what you're doing there. Creating CFCs versus Java objects, Java objects are faster if you're comparing apples to apples, like a simple bean that doesn't really do anything. They are a little bit faster, but it really gets into if your CFC or your Java class runs 3 queries, they're both, the queries take the same amount of time, but there's a little bit of speed there, but it's a little bit harder to write, so trade off. Okay, so the question is, what would move a project from Flash Forms to Flex 2? So first thing we want to look at is the technology. Flash Forms are written in Flex 1.5. Flex 2 is a newer version of the player. It's a little bit faster, better performing. It's got a Action Script 3. But besides that, Flash forms were built to handle a specific problem. Replace your single static HTML forms, not build applications. So the first thing is, if you're trying to build an application, a menu application, a multi-dashboard application, go to Flex. That's not what Flash forms are for. I would probably draw the line that if you're writing Flash forms and you've started using remote object calls to populate things, moving to Flex 2 would probably be a really good thing to look at. Because Flash forms, you know, they're the older version, so they don't have as much stuff they can do. We do have a few limitations in there, like, you know, the 64K limit some of you have probably seen. You can't use a new keyword. If you move to Flex 2, you can do anything you want. So it's, you know, if you're writing a pretty advanced Flash form, and especially you're starting to get into remote object calls and stuff, look at Flex 2. Any more? Is there a question? How I didn't hear all that. How long until Flex Builder gets what? I don't know exactly. It's high on the priority list, but we couldn't ship Flex Builder with a beta of Eclipse out there. So, and there are class differences, so it will take a little bit of engineering work. But it's they definitely know they want to do it. I just don't have an exact date for you. Good question. You know, it's just think about the same as passing a large record set result back to the browser. And you got to transfer data. The nice part is you're not sending a whole bunch of XML or HTML around that. You're just sending the binary. It compresses it. It sends the binary. It's going to be a lot faster as Flash promoting than XML. Okay. That's actually a good reason to move up to Flex 2 and ActionScript 3 because it's a lot better than Flex 1.5. They did a lot of work in the VM, a lot of work in the garbage collection, a lot of work to optimize that. So, I mean, I've seen grids with tens of thousands of rows that you don't even notice. So it's a lot better than it was in Flex 1.0. And FDS will actually give you paging. So as you scroll, it'll go to the server and get 10 more rows, 10 more rows, 10 more, or something like that. So you don't have to transfer all 10,000 rows at once just as they view it. But obviously, if you put in too much data, you will eventually slow it down. And the user who's using its machine will make a difference. Is it automatic or is it a flag? Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to tell it to use paging, but it's not like a lot of code you have to write to support it. Yeah.
You said that it was seamless bringing tens of thousands of rows, but I thought in your example it was a second or two of flags.
Well, that was the data transfer. He's talking about in Flex 1.0, if you put like a couple thousand rows in and then tried to scroll, it would be like, I can't draw that fast. the UI wasn't refreshing quickly enough with Flex 2. And especially if you turn like bitmap caching, it'll even get better. The UI just will draw and it'll be a lot more responsive once it's in the client's machine.
Is that a function of the Flash player itself in Flash 9?
What made that faster is the Flash player update to ActionScript 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole new VM under. There's actually ActionScript 1 VM and ActionScript 3 VM. And depending on how you wrote your code, it uses one or the other. ActionScript 3 is a lot more efficient, a lot faster.
Regular Flash apps can be a little more responsive to the data.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're starting to put HTML in the data grid, then it's like.
Yeah. But if you write the same app now with the new ActionScript 3, you'll see a huge speed increase. Yeah?
Has any tags or anything been deprecated from 1.5 that kind of changed?
To Flex 2?
Yeah.
There's a big book that tells you how to migrate Flex 1.5 to Flex 2. There's a lot of changes. So I wouldn't tell you to just immediately upgrade out of principle. You know, wait till you are going to add a whole bunch of new features. And you're kind of doing like a 50% rewrite, that's a good time to do it. But there's a lot of, like everything has to be tight now before it didn't. The nice part is Flex 2 and Flex Builder is, because everything's typed and typed, the compiler can give you a lot of hints. It'll tell you forgot to do stuff. So you can sit there and, you know, just keep changing it until the compiler quits complaining. And it'll be like, you forgot to set these three things, set those three things. Now you forgot to do these five things, go do those five things. Now you forgot these six other things, go do those six other things. And eventually when you get no more red, it'll run. Yeah. No. All the documentation will be up online, obviously, and it does ship as Eclipse documentation inside of Flex Builder. So if you go into Flex Builder, help contents. And actually, the plugins that we ship, the ColdFusion additional plugins for Flex Builder that we ship, we include all the CF7 documentation in there as well. That's because I got service capture running. It's in there. In the help contents, yeah. Any more questions? Yep, one more, go. I have no idea. I have no idea what the plans are. I don't want to promise you yes or no, but I'm not sure. Ooh, we have 5 minutes. Cool. Any more questions? You want to see one more quick demo? Yeah? Yeah. I'll post them up online now that the conference is over. Let me turn off service capture. Make sure that app's running. Cool. So, there's one more cool thing we wrote. One of the plugins we wrote is an application wizard. A lot of you have probably had to write a master detail. I got a list of users. I click user, I edit them, save. Master, kind of like what I wrote here. List of users, edit, save. You know, it's traditional master detail. A lot of you might just be like, hey, I just want an app to run with. And then I can start editing it and changing it and playing around with it. So one of the plugins that we install, as long as the RDS and the create CFCs, is the application, ColdFusion Flex Application Wizard. So if you come in here to New Project, you'll see this option, or New File. We'll come in here. First thing we'll do is we'll use the RDS and we'll pick our data source, RDS gallery. So the first thing we're going to do is say, artists, it's a master type of page, meaning I want a list of artists. You probably will recognize this from the home site query builder. Artist, I want the first name and the last name in the grid. I'm going to need to edit that. Is anyone timing me on how long it takes to write this app? So the artists, maybe the artists have one-to-many array of art. The media ID, let's go ahead and get a little fancy here. So the media ID column, you notice in this case I'm not doing a query. I'm defining the tables that I want to edit or the objects. And so I'm going to go ahead and define what kind of form fields I want in the edit form. In this case, I want a combo box or a select list. And to do that, I'm going to need a media ID and a media type. That's what's going to populate the select list. Okay. And you notice in the edit form there's an ID coming in. This is the ID from the master page. It'll get passed in automatically. Save that. So now I have two pages. I'm going to build my site navigation tree. So from the home page, I'm going to have an artist link, which will then let me link to editing the artist. Okay. Browse the services config. I can include the login page with this application or not. Pick my web server. We'll say demo one. All right. Hit finish. Now that will create a new Flex project. It'll create all the MXML, all the ColdFusion. It'll compile it, and you'll have a full running application real quick. So when your boss says, we need an admin for our CMS, and you want to go on vacation that weekend. So we'll run this real quick so you can see what we did. Connecting to site 1111. I think it's the like ST, the wireless around here. Like I've noticed, like some apps run at localhost and some need 127. I think there's virtual proxies. So the thing we did here is we've got the login form. There's a register page. These are all just stubbed in. You call the login when I log in here, it's going to call a CFC that returns true. You can now go into the CFC and actually write a query, connect to NT Exchange, do whatever you want. So we'll go A at A.com, A, hit login. Now I have my navigation bar, I have my master page, I can edit this guy, Austin. You can see he has a couple of different arts. The media ID is a drop-down built into the data grid. We have, if you remember, CF Form has, oh, I didn't put the masking in. You can add the masking that CF Form had for like different fields. Let's go Austin 111. Just like that app I wrote before, Austin 111. So I wrote that full application, 2-3 minutes. You can have multiple masters linking to masters, linking to masters, multiple links. You can go crazy in here. You can also rerun the wizard. You can also rerun the wizard and just say, load up what I all the configuration queries I did before and tweak something, rerun it. It's also a great way to go, okay, now I got a running app. I can go in there and start tweaking it. What if I add a button here? Where does it go? Oh, that's where it showed up. Oh, I want to, you know, it gives you something to start with and play with so you don't have to spend the next 3 hours before you can actually run something and see some results. You can actually load this up. It is a full running. It is editing a database if you need a quick admin, if you need a quick master detail app. And then you can just start customizing it from here, colors, skins, whatever you need to do. So this is one more plugin in there. I tell you to go ahead and play with that. Do it. And I think we're done. If you have any more questions, come on up. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.